business to the head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We're going to have a great interview in 1 minute, but first, one of the world's leading atheist evolutionists, P.Z. Myers, decided yesterday to blog about the challenge we put to him called the P.Z. Myers-Trochlea Challenge about the claimed evolution of a muscle on the eye, the superior oblique. And what a fun challenge it is. And P.Z. Myers has said he doesn't have an answer, but of course, that doesn't mean atheism or Darwinism is false. So on Friday, during our Real Science Friday broadcast, Fred Williams and I will get into that discussion and the blogs and all the comments, and it should be real interesting. Okay, in our telethon, we're up to $7,500. Thank you for those of you who have given so far. Please help us out, kgov.com. All right. It turns out that this summer, there are researchers who have been busy trying to lobby the American Psychiatric Association to get them to do with pedophilia what they did with homosexuality years ago and get them to delist pedophilia as a disorder. And we are honored to have Liberty Counsel's Matt Barber with us. Matt, welcome to Bob Inyart Live.
Hey, Bob, can you hear me?
I sure can. It's great to have you on the show, Matt. How are you doing?
I'm well. Thanks for having me. And hey, real quickly, I wanted to let you know, I'm from Denver, and listening to you back in 1990, 91, 92, you were a major influence in what launched me into doing what I do, the calling that the Lord placed on my heart today. So I just wanted to share that with you. I didn't know if I had shared that with you before.
Well, so. Praise God, Matt. That is humbling to hear. And well, let me ask you this. On a week ago, Saturday night, there was the annual Colorado Right to Life banquet. Alan Key spoke, Tom Tancredo. It was a stunning evening, and there was a couple there, and they were the Barbers. So I imagine their relationship to you.
They are mom and dad, and they were delighted and excited to tell me that they met you and Dr. Keyes. So.
Yeah, what a wonderful night that was. And also, Matt, since we're thanking one another, you know, I'll give you a half hour to cut that out. But thank you for your work and the work of Liberty Counsel on behalf of the innocent unborn child.
Well, you know, if we can't get past the idea that the founding fathers and the Declaration of Independence, as it so aptly reminds us, that we are granted by our Creator certain unalienable rights, among these life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. If we can't get past the idea that life is sacrosanct and we have an absolute right to that, then the rest is kind of worthless.
Well, thank you. And Matt Barber with Liberty Counsel. These researchers, well-known researchers, held an academic conference in Baltimore in August, and you were there. Can you tell us your report of what was going on?
Sure. Dr. Judith Riesman and myself, she is the long-standing, probably has done more to expose Alfred Kinsey.
Yeah, she's a hero of ours.
Yeah, right.
Her book called Soft Porn Plays Hardball, we've interviewed Judith on this program, vital for those who care about the war waged against children and against families and adults, that pornography is deadly.
Oh, absolutely. And her book, Alfred Kinsey, Crimes and Consequences, is the text for a class I teach at Liberty University School of Law, Sexual Behavior in the Law. In fact, starts in about 15 minutes.
But, oh, my.
But we attended this conference. And, Bob, I'm a former police officer. A pretty tough guy. I was a boxer. I've dealt with homicide. I've dealt with suicide. I have never felt the presence of evil like I did in this room. The way that these people could rationalize the discussion that they were having, this is a group of MAPs, minor attracted persons, as they like to call themselves, rather than pedophiles, because that stigmatizes.
So minor attracted persons. In other words, persons who are sexually attracted to children.
Person who lust after or rape children, to put it bluntly. Yeah. these guys had a conference. Dr. Fred Berlin of Johns Hopkins University gave the keynote address. Well-respected, highly credentialed individual, a number of highly credentialed people with a whole bunch of letters after their names, were there to support these pedophiles. And the crux of the conference was the idea that they were going to employ the same tactics that we saw back in 1973 when homosexual activists got homosexuality removed from the American Psychiatric Association's Diagnostic and Statistical Manual on Mental Illness.
That was, if I recall, the group that did that was called ACT UP.
A radical, really a neo-terrorist organization, frankly. They stormed churches, the Catholic Cathedral in New York. They were known for disrupting and intimidating. They, in fact, stormed the APA's national conference, demanding, we're here, we're queer, get used to it, all that stuff.
Right,
so
right.
It was a political calculation.
Well, and also, you use the word terrorist, the celebration of Stonewall in Greenwich Village and the homosexual uprising that killed a police officer. This is part and parcel of the homosexual rights movement.
I call it the sexual anarchy movement. That's the larger umbrella that includes the homosexual activist movement, the radical pro-aborts, the pedophile movement, the comprehensive sex education and radical feminist movement. They all have in their crosshairs God's design for human sexuality, the Judeo-Christian sexual tenet. So the whole goal is whatever their stripe, whatever their angle, their ideological cousins, they seek to undermine the Judeo-Christian sexual ethic and impose sexual anarchy, sexual relativism. That's what was going on at this conference, and they were employing the same political calculus that the homosexual activists employed in order to get pedophilia destigmatized using the same incrementalist approach.
In fact, Matt, the name of this group is Before You Act, ACT, and very possibly named after their forerunners, ACT UP.
Absolutely. Certainly. It's not surprising that they are emulating their ideological cousins. And many of them, there were self-described gay activists at this event that I guess are also attracted to young boys or adolescent boys, certainly. And that's very common within the homosexual community. They have names for them in the Queen's vernacular. They call them chicken hawks, or these homosexual men that lust after and attempt to seduce either young boys or adolescent boys. So they're cut from the same sexual anarchist cloth. And some of what I heard at this event was simply appalling. Things like, quote, children are not inherently unable to consent to sex with an adult. Well, that's in keeping with what Harry Hay, the homosexual activist pioneer, the founding father of the gay rights movement, and he wrote to Kevin Jennings, Barack Obama's former safe school czar. He was an admitted pedophile, supporter of NAMBLA. That was his mentality. Hey, the best thing that can happen to a 13-year-old boy is to have a sexual relationship with a man. That was the tenor central to this conference.
Matt, there are so many quotes like that from leading homosexuals and published in major homosexual magazines and well-known books. I've got here from Time Magazine and from Out Magazine. We have an article, Should Homosexuals Adopt? And in that article, we quote from Out Magazine, the principal of New York City's homosexual Harvey Milk High School, putting in writing in Out Magazine that no kid has ever been hurt by oral sex. And shockingly, he doesn't even put it that politely, if you would. And that's typical. Time Magazine wrote a puff piece on an admitted child molester, Peter Melzer. They titled it For the Love of Kids. And Melzer had written in the NAMBLA Journal, the North American Man-Boy Love Association, on how to make that special boy feel good. Time Magazine reported his claim that he never did anything inappropriate with a Filipino boy that he was accused of having sexual relations with. And so for homosexuals to give us this track record of defending sex with children, bragging about it, boasting it's good for kids, and then for the mainstream media to provide cover for them shows what's behind all this. I think it's an intense godlessness and a rebellion against the Judeo-Christian moral ethic that God has revealed to us.
Absolutely. Very well put, Bob. GLSEN, the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network that was founded by Kevin Jennings, who we mentioned earlier, they partner with the National Education Association and push curricula to public schools and thousands of schools across the country. This values neutral, actually it's not values neutral, it's radical pro-homosexual indoctrination is what it is.
Right.
And they, on their reading list, this is a well-respected, nationally well-funded homosexual activist organization that partners with the largest union in the country. They tacitly promote pederasty. On their reading list, they have these books that favorably paint pictures of young boys, either as young as 5 and 6 years old, having gay orgies in the public school bathroom. Put that aside for a moment. They basically paint in a positive light through their reading list the idea of men having sex with young boys as if it's a good thing. So you cannot divest, though they want to, because it's no longer politically expedient, the connection that they have with the pederast and pedophilia movement. You cannot divest the two. They are not mutually exclusive. They are inexorably linked.
In fact, one of the leading homosexual publishing houses, Allison Press, Allison Publications of Boston, they're the ones who published those first grade textbooks to promote homosexuality, Daddy's Roommate and Gloria Goes to Gay Pride, I think. They also published a book with pedophilia in the title, and it wasn't a book warning against pedophilia. It was an entire book, hundreds of pages, arguing why and how 7-year-old boys should be introduced to sex by older men. It's titled The Age Taboo. On page 144, they say boy lovers are not child molesters. The child abusers are the parents who try to stop the molesters from getting at their kids.
Oh, just absolute pure evil. And this all stems back from this Keynesian worldview, 1948, sexuality in the human male, 1953, sexuality in the human female. His discredited, fraudulent research, Alfred Kinsey, is the forefather, the messiah of the sexual anarchist movement. There is a pre-Kinsey America, a post-Kinsey America, and as you know, Bob, he facilitated himself the sexual assault rape of thousands of children for his, quote, research, and some as young as 2 months old, and he found why it can be a wonderful, positive experience for these children.
Matt Barber with Liberty Counsel. And you're talking also about the children of Table 34.
Exactly.
A great tragedy where Alfred Kinsey, who's a homosexual who molested, raped children, and he publishes children's sexual responses to stimuli. And people have to ask, well, where did he get the data from? He got the data from molesting and overseeing the sexual molestation, the rape of children.
He placed ledgers and stopwatches in the hands of parents and nursery school workers and other pedophiles to rape these children and record their findings. And yet we still have the Kinsey Institute in existence today
in Indiana
University.
Yeah, in Bloomington.
Yeah.
Which is the center of homosexual activity there in Indiana.
Are we surprised?
No.
Again, you know, they are inexorably linked. Mm.
So this group, Before You Act, they held this conference in Baltimore. You attended, and their goal now, very similar to what happened back in the 70s, is to delist pedophilia as a mental disorder that the American Psychiatric Association would no longer say that pedophilia is a disorder. And of course, that's the first step toward tolerance and respectability given to people who we've already seen the media defending people who make these arguments.
Well, exactly. And, you know, a couple of the things that were said there in keeping with that, quote, the majority of pedophiles are gentle and rational. You know, I'm put on my amateur therapist hat here. I've never seen such sociopathy and narcissism in my life. Mm-hmm. They said the DSM, quote, should focus on the needs of the pedophile and should have a, quote, minimal focus on social control rather than obsessing about the, quote, need to protect children. So, Bob, the pedophiles are the victims here, not the kids.
You know,
and they're the ones that are unfairly stigmatized and demonized.
Yeah, Matt, you're with Liberty Counsel. You guys are experts in the law. It seems to me that if we lived in a sane world, this could be considered conspiracy to rape a child, to argue that pedophilia should be somehow normalized. Obviously, they would want this to be decriminalized so these people could maybe go see a psychiatrist rather than being thrown in jail, which, of course, by the way, would be a financial boon to psychiatry.
Well, sure. And again, that's the goal ultimately, is to have it decriminalized because they want access. This is their, quote, sexual orientation. That's what Dr. Fred Berlin said. They said things like, hey, we're born this way. So if that's their sexual orientation, why then it's just a puritanical America that says they shouldn't have the right to engage their sexual orientation. And in fact, the children have a right to sex with adults because, you know, as Kinsey found, it can actually be a positive thing.
So have you had a response from the Christian community in trying to get the word out about this danger? I know that the American Family Association, which is a stalwart for defending the gospel and Christian families in America, we're aware of this thanks to them and their One News Now media service.
This really went viral. Dr. Riesman and I sent a press release out. I wrote an article, Sexual Anarchy is the title, that was widely published in Town Hall and LifeSite News and a number of other publications, really exposing what occurred here. And the response has been overwhelming. It has shined the light of truth on this group, and it has given us a teachable moment here again to point out that the slippery slope, we call it the slippery slope for a reason, and unfortunately, in our culture today, we have slid quite a ways down that slippery slope to the point where a group of pedophiles and credentialed, tenured professors feel comfortable talking about the need to destigmatize this crime against humanity and against children, to destigmatize it with the ultimate goal of having it, I think, decriminalized, but certainly removed as a mental disorder from the DSM.
Well, here in Denver, Bob and Yurt Live, our studio is in the Denver metropolitan area. We're nestled in between Denver and the foothills of the Rocky Mountains. And I remember when a convicted pedophile who said that he was then controlling his desires was running for the Denver school board with the support of many in the homosexual community. I remember when Boulder gave the key to the city to Allen Ginsberg, who was an advocate of pedophilia, sex with kids. And when he died, the national media warmly eulogized Ginsberg, and even though he publicly endorsed NAMBLA. And so there is this extraordinary disconnect. Over the last 20 years that I've been on the air, when I have brought up the homosexual community's tolerance and frequent support for pedophilia, the homosexuals that I'm debating, they go ballistic. And maybe it's
sure.
More accurate to say they take a hissy fit.
Yeah.
But it's so blatant.
Sure they do, because they realize that this is a millstone around their neck. The history of NAMBLA and other groups marching alongside them in gay pride parades in the 70s and 80s before they realized it was a political burden, that they can't get around this. They can't deny these realities, yet they realize how damaging it can be in the mainstream with their goals of ultimately not garnering just acceptance of homosexuality or tolerance, but celebration, and under penalty of law celebration, as we see around the country in California and elsewhere, posing laws that say you have to favorably teach in public school these sexually deviant lifestyles.
Well, those who are tolerant, the beautiful people who advocate pluralism, free speech, and diversity, they are harshly intolerant of someone who holds the view of Christian morality, that God made us male and female, as Jesus said at the beginning of the creation, not after billions of years, but at the beginning he made us male and female, and he instituted marriage between a man and a woman. And if you hold that position today, you are hated. And if possible, they will get you fired from your job, kicked off the air. You won't be able to be a columnist for a local newspaper if, in fact, you believe that homosexuality is a sin. It's rebellion against God. I remember, Matt Barber, it was as late as in the 1990s when a leading homosexual activist, his name is David Thorstad, is the president of the New York Gay Activist Alliance. He was a founding member of the Coalition for Lesbian and Gay Rights. When the homosexual March on Washington, when they broke with tradition and said NAMBLA could not march and neither could any of the other pedophile groups, David Thorstad went ballistic. He was angry. How dare they discriminate against child molesters?
Well, yeah, if morality is relative, if there are no clear lines of demarcation between right and wrong, if we can radically redefine marriage, if sexual orientation is an immutable, unchangeable, inborn characteristic, then who are we to say that all form of sexual deviance should not be permissible by law and, in fact, embraced and celebrated? Once you start down that road of getting away from these God-given parameters that he's written on the hearts of every man, woman, and child, then there is no logical conclusion. There is no logical end to the madness. And so we see that on display in instances like you just mentioned.
You know, there are so many of these. In the past 10 years, Matt, we've turned our focus to trying to protect the unborn child from being torn limb from limb by the abortionists at Planned Parenthood. So the personhood movement has been our primary focus, along with God as our creator and Jesus Christ as our savior. So we haven't put as much effort as we had done the previous 10 years into warning people about homosexuality, but it's not because the danger is not real and present. It's because when people are slaughtering children and then they're telling other children it's okay to be a homosexual, it's hard to fight every battle all the time on every front and every direction. But I remember Out Magazine, again, one of the leading homosexual magazines, in an article titled The Men from the Boys, they interviewed a homosexual director of a home for runaway youth. And he wrote in there, he said that when he was 14 to 16 years of age, he had sex with well over 1,000 men. People much older than myself. And so what that shows is that this boy hardly met a homosexual adult who would not have sex with him. And this is from their own admission in their own literature. I remember Andy Hume, who's a homosexual activist who bragged in the New York Native that he had so much influence over the New York City Council. And he said, look, we should not deny anyone of their civil rights, whether they're a sadist, a masochist, a homosexual, a pedophile, whatever one can imagine, we should defend their rights to, you know, be who they are.
Hence my use of the term sexual anarchy, because that's what we are talking about here. And scripture says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. And that is our culture today. That is the society that we live in, where logic and reason, God's design for human sexuality has been turned on its head. And it's a very powerful thing. The family, a marriage, and the nuclear family, the model for that is Christ and the church. And when that is abused and the enemy, Satan, takes this and twists this for his evil purposes, a society that embraces that is not long for the world, that gets away from a gold standard of monogamy and marriage between a man and a woman and sexual purity. When we get away from the gold standard and embrace as a society our government, how long are we for the world? I fear not very long. When we turn our face away from God, how can we expect him to continue and maintain his providence on us as a nation?
Matt, if my memory serves, you have provided important support for Personhood USA, for the Personhood Movement, Keith Mason, the Personhood efforts around the country. And there is another round three, Lord willing, coming up in Colorado, where the fight is now to begin to get our third consecutive personhood amendment on the ballot. We closed the gap. We lost 3-1 in 2008. We narrowed that to 2-1 in 2010. And we don't need another 70%. You know, we need 20% to win this thing in Colorado. So if you're available, boy, the personhood movement needs supporters all over the country.
Well, I absolutely support it 100%. Liberty Council supports it 100%. We're behind the Mississippi Personhood Initiative. We framed the language for the ballot initiative. We're defending it in court, successfully have defended it in court. It will be on the ballot in November.
In fact, you guys beat the ACLU and Planned Parenthood, who were trying to get the person at Amendment 26 in Mississippi kicked off their state ballot.
That's right. The judges weren't buying. And so in a state that at about 80% to 20% supports life, we're expecting it to pass.
All right. Well, thank you, Matt Barber with Liberty Counsel. What an honor to have you on the show.
God bless you, Bob. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate Matt. And, you know, our telethon, we're at 7,500. Boy, we need your help. KGov.com and 800-8-N-YARDS.